There's two times in your life that you're really going to need great faith. You're going to need great faith. I mean, we need faith every day. And let me just say, if you wait until the day you need faith to go looking for it, it won't be there. That's what your daily routine is about. That's what your time with the Lord is every single day of your life. That's what your time with the Lord and fellowshipping with one another. That's what your personal study time's about, because there's going to be a couple of times. I don't mean just 2 days. I mean, there's going to be a couple of kinds of days where you're going to need great faith. One, in the moment of crisis or in great need. Or when God speaks to you and tells you to do something that you believe is impossible to do or that you've never done before. And in those moments, you're going to need some great faith. So I'm going to talk to you about how to get that kind of faith this morning. So turn with me to Judges, the book of Judges, chapter 6. We're going to read one verse together. And let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. Let's honor. There's a reason we stand. I'm trying to burn into you the importance of the Word of God in your life. And we stand like we would stand for a dignitary or some important thing. We stand to remind us that God's Word is everything that we need in this life. And it is, you know, Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God, this specific Word from God. And so look at this specific Word from God, Judges 6, verse 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." And everybody say, "The Word of the Lord." Let's pray. Father, I pray that faith would come to people today as we individually hear specific words that you're speaking to our hearts, but also that we would collectively hear what the Spirit of God is saying to this church specifically. And Lord, that we would have faith to please you. Like Hebrews 11:6 says, that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And Lord, we absolutely, completely, totally want to please you with our words, with our actions, with our life. Lord, teach us how to walk in faith today. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and be seated, if you will, please. You see, in that moment where you have this crisis or you have this great need, it reminds me of three different accounts in the book of Matthew. The first we have is this woman that is obviously has this internal bleeding issue going on. The Bible tells for us that she had been to many physicians and she had spent all of her money and she wasn't getting any better, but rather she was getting worse. But she heard about Jesus. She heard that he was healing people and he was doing miracles and he was turning situations around, and she heard about Jesus. So she said to herself, "If I can just touch the hem of Jesus' garment, I'll be made whole." And that's exactly what she did. Jesus came to her community. She pressed through the crowd. There was a great crowd of people. She pushed all the way through that crowd, grabbed a hold of the hem of Jesus' garment, and immediately Jesus stopped in his tracks and said, "Who touched me?" And this woman, realizing that she'd been found out, revealed herself and said, "It was me." And Jesus said, "Well, virtue or power has gone out from me. Somebody touched me with faith." And after she told her story, Jesus said this to the woman. This is the first scripture from Matthew there in chapter 9. He said this to her. He said, your faith has made you well. And she was healed that very moment. Later on in the chapter, we have a different account of two blind men sitting by the gate begging, and they heard that Jesus was coming by. And they began to shout out with a loud voice, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And long story short, Jesus healed them, their sight was restored, and said, the next verse, He said, according to your faith, let it be to you. Later on in chapter 15 of Matthew, we have an account of a woman that came to Jesus and falls down at his feet and said, my daughter's grievously tormented. Would you come and heal her? And Jesus said, you know, it's really not right for me to give the children's bread to dogs. And the woman said, yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that eat from the master's table. And Jesus said, I haven't found this kind of faith in all of my countrymen. See, she wasn't even Jewish. She was Syrophoenician. She was a Canaanite woman. And look at what Jesus said to her. He said, let it be to you as you desire, O woman, great. Great is your faith. And so in your time of need or your time of crisis, you really need to find out the word of God for your situation so that you can have faith. You can have faith to turn that situation around. And I'm telling you, Michelle and I have been through every kind of faith moment in our life, from God telling us to do things that seemingly were impossible, telling us to do things that we'd never done before. But we've all had, Michelle and I have had more than one, really quite a few moments where we absolutely needed faith in God because of the crisis, because of the great need that was going on in our life. Everybody say faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But faith comes when you hear what God says specifically about your situation. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So let's look at this situation in Judges. Let's find out what's going on here. We have this word from God, Judges 6, verse 12, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Now, you don't, you know, if you don't know the story, you don't know what a faith statement this really was. Look at verse 11. And the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in, I'm just going to say Oprah. All right? Which belonged to Joash, the Abizarite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. Now, if you read up in the first few verses of the chapter, you find out that the people of God, the children of Israel, had turned away from the Lord. The Lord had turned them over to their enemies, the Midianites, and they were living under oppression. And so Gideon is out sneaking around trying to get some grain so he can feed his family. So he's far from a mighty man. As a matter of fact, he's hiding because he's afraid he's going to be found out, right? And the angel of the Lord shows up and says, the Lord is with you, mighty man of valor. So we would say that is the word of the Lord. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing this very specific thing that God says to you, all right? Which might be radically different than what you're thinking about yourself, or radically different than what you think about your situation. But the word of the Lord to Gideon is that you're a mighty man of valor and the Lord is with you. Now look at Gideon's response in verse 13. Gideon said to him, O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? Where are all the miracles that we've heard about? Did the Lord not bring us out of Egypt and all of that? Now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. So in your moment of crisis or this moment where God speaks to you about something that you've never done before, you think it's impossible, you're going to probably be like Gideon and you're going to probably want to argue with God about this situation because it doesn't really make sense. When God tells you to do something that you've never done before or that's impossible, you're going to tell God, this is impossible and I've never done this before. All right? And if this, you know, if you're really with us, it doesn't look like it. I mean, have you ever talked to God like that? If you're really with me, it doesn't seem like you're with me. It seems like you're with my enemy. It seems like you've abandoned me. But the fact of the matter is, God didn't really abandon them, did he? Verse 1 says that the people had forsaken God, not the other way around. Isn't it amazing our own perspective can be completely wrong? Sort of like showing up at the airport last night. I distinctly have May 1st in my notes, but Saji distinctly has May 8th in his notes. We're not going to fix blame. We can just be completely wrong, can't we? We can believe we're right and be completely wrong. And Gideon is arguing, and he has all this doubt. I mean, look at his statements. He said, if. I tell you, you start throwing a lot of ifs around, and there's not a lot of faith going on. And you start throwing whys. Why this, why that, why the other thing. There's not going to be a lot of faith going on. More people are interested in why did this happen to me than how am I going to get out of it. Because they want to fix blame. Or they want to come up with their excuse. You know, it's just easier to stay in defeat. It's just easier to stay bound. It's just easier to stay where I am. It's just easier to settle with the status quo than to do something about it, isn't it? It's just easier. Well, thank you for your rounding enthusiasm. It's easier just to sit there like a bump on a log than even to respond to me. Some of you are really fixated on the fact that you thought you might were going to get to leave real early. Get over it. But if you're obsessed with why, you're probably not going to come up with the solution. You know, there's a lot of people that can help you figure out why you're in the mess you're in. And a lot of people are going to volunteer a lot of information of why they believe you're in the mess that you're in. And it might not even be true, but the fact of the matter is what difference does it make? What difference does it make how I got here or why I got here? The fact of the matter is they're in trouble. They're deeply afraid of their oppressors, and they're sneaking around, come on somebody, hiding out and just barely surviving life, are they not? So the fact of the matter is whether God abandoned them or they got themselves in trouble, there they are, and God's offering them the solution. And the solution to your problem always is going to have something to do with faith in God. If God ever told you to do something to do that you thought you could do anyway, or that you really had a lot of expertise and a lot of experience in, it really wouldn't take God speaking to you to get you to do something. You say, well, I can just do that. And we're going to find out that's not really faith in God. Faith in God has to do with doing things that would be impossible for you to do, doing things that are way bigger than you, and things that you've never done before. Several years ago, the Lord spoke to my heart about starting a radio station, which seemed, in our size of community, impossible, something we'd never done before. But, you know, this morning as I turned it on, it's still there. Amen. It was completely impossible, never done it before, but there it is. And it's been there for, I don't know, 13, 14, 15 years now. That's just one thing God told me to do that I had no idea how to do it, but I just said, yes, Lord, are you listening to me? I mean, this church. When I was 11 years old, God spoke into my heart about being a pastor. Well, at 11 years old, that seems kind of impossible. And I'd never done that before. And quite frankly, I'm not really wired for this job the way I think it ought to be done. And it's just impossible. It's just completely, absolutely absurd to even think so. I mean, like I've told you so many times before, I was a pretty good student, you know, mostly A's and B's in college, but I got a C in speech. And I'd get up there and stumble and bumble and sweat, and I had the same anxiety about speaking in front of people as do many of you, except for one thing. From the time I was a little kid, I could get up and preach. The gospel is the one thing I could get up and talk to people about was about Jesus and the Bible. I just said, yes, Lord, and we've been following that dream ever since. You know, Michelle and I knew long before we came back to Chillicothe that that's what God told us to do. And when we came back to Chillicothe and served our parents, Michelle and I together said, we're going to do this for 5 years. God's put in our heart to do this for 5 years. And at the end of that 5 years, then we really believe that this church is supposed to be ours to pastor. Well, that's kind of absurd because it had a pastor. Are you following me? At the end of 5 years, our parents came to us and said, hey, we think it's time to move on. We think it's time for you to take over the church. I mean, God just put things in our hearts so that we would have faith, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Now, you've heard the story, but a few years ago, I'm just minding my own business. I'm just out, you know, treading or shucking the grain, you know, just doing what it is to take care of our family and do this church. And the Lord starts talking to me about the Assemblies of God. How many of you know I was Baptist? I've never in my life, you know, before that moment, really had much to do with the Assemblies of God, except we hired Chad and Courtney, and they grew up Assemblies of God. That was our connection to the Assemblies of God. And God said something to me that just seemed impossible, seemed crazy, seemed rude, seemed arrogant. Why don't you ask the Assemblies of God if they'll let you plant new churches in some of their failing locations? How many of you think that's a rude question? It's very rude and very arrogant, except that was the word of the Lord to me. And the confirmation was this. I went to the main guy, went to the superintendent of the North Missouri Assembly of God Churches, and invited him to my office and fed him lunch and asked him a question. I said, sir, do you believe that you would allow us to plant new churches in some of your failing locations? And he said, that's an absolutely wonderful idea. Let's do it. I could have fallen over. I thought I was going to get out of this. I thought there's no way this is God, but I can't get it off my heart. I don't know the guy, so if I, you know, if I insult him and he gets greatly offended at me, we weren't friends before and we're not going to be friends afterwards. And that'll be the end of it. But he said yes. And so far they've given us two buildings. So far they've given us two buildings. And there was a little congregation that had three actual members left in Milan. And there'll be 50, 60, 70 people in church this morning up there. And so we have a congregation of more or less 100 people that go to church in Milan in the former Assembly of God church building that is no longer whatever Milan First Assembly. It's now Cornerstone Church. And the same thing's true about Cameron. Except over in Cameron, we have over 200 people that are part of our congregation in Cameron that started 1 year ago. 1 year ago. I said, 1 year ago we started the church in Cameron, and Aaron will have plus minus 170 people in church this morning. As a matter of fact, I'm not sure, we might be already the largest Sunday morning attended church in Cameron, Missouri. That's fascinating. That's just God saying something that seems impossible and something we've never done before, but faith comes by and hearing by the word of God. Guys, God's speaking to my heart some things that absolutely, in a few years' time from now, Cornerstone Church, I mean in all of our locations, is going to be 3, 4, 5 times as big as it is right now. There's one thing that God's speaking in my heart right now that absolutely a year from now, we might be triple to quadruple bigger than we are right now. That's impossible, except that's what God's speaking in our heart. See, Gideon's out hiding from his enemy, and one word from God, God said to Gideon through the angel, you are a mighty man of valor. God is with you. I need you to hear from God. I believe certainly today in the room, there are people that you know God has spoken in your heart to do some things that you've never done, because you've never done them before and they seemed impossible. And you started throwing a lot of ifs at God and whys. If this is really you, why this or why that? And then he goes one more. Come on, look at verse 14. The Lord turned to him. It's fascinating that God never answers your questions. He just doesn't. You start asking God a bunch of whys and ifs and all that, and it never moves God. God is never moved by your doubt. He's never moved by your fear. He just has a word for you. And look, and Gideon is throwing out all these objections and really kind of insulting God. In verse 14, then the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours, and you will save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? And then Gideon asked the question that we would all ask, how? 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 Let me just tell you something. You're not going to get the how question answered either. You're never going to get the how question answered sitting in the grain bin hiding out from the Midianites. The only time you're going to get the how answer, how question answered is when you just start stepping out in obedience and do what God told you to do. Because Michelle and I have been talking about what's next, and she said, well, how are we going to do this, and how are we going to do that, and how are we going to do the other thing? I said, don't worry about any of those questions. I said, all we're going to do is step out and do what God told us to do, and all the how will show up. How this, how that, how the other thing. How are you going to do music there? How are you going to do kids there? How are you going to do this? Where are you going to meet? Where are you, all this kind of thing. You know, who's going to come help us? I have no idea who's going to come help us, but I know the Lord will send them. Are you listening to me? Because he told us to do something. He told us to do something, and now we have a track record of all these things that God told us to do that always works out. Are you excited yet? Are you excited yet? Because all God says, he will just go back and just keep repeating what he first said. I'm going to use you to deliver the people. Go out and do it. Go out and do it. But how? I don't know. Come on. He said, just get out and go do it. Just step out and go do it. Everybody say, look at your neighbor and say, just step out. You can do it. Look, I'm talking to people in the room that God has spoken to you and has given you something to do that would be beneficial to other people. And you really feel like Gideon. You feel like there's no way I can do this. I'm not qualified to do this. I have no experience in this. This is impossible. This is even crazy. And I can just tell you, I've been through the impossible question. I've been through the I've never done it before question. I've been through this is a ridiculous question. And God has asked us to do all of those things before, and he's always come through. Can you give me a better amen? I said, God has always come through. So whatever God has told you to do, you're not going to figure it out and then do it. You're going to step out in obedience and start doing it, and then God will provide for you. Now let's look at the rest of the story real quickly. All right? Verse 15, he says, how? And all God says in verse 16 again, he says to him, surely I will be with you. And look, God will work with you. He's not expecting perfection out of you. Look at me. Look at me. God is not expecting perfection out of you. So Gideon does not give the proper responses here, but it doesn't change what God says. Gideon goes, okay, I need to test you out on this. And so he gives him a test. And God is gracious and fulfills that. And says, here's what I want you to do. Look at verse 23. Then the Lord said to him, peace with you. Do not fear. You shall not die. That's good. I mean, what reassuring words. Hey, this won't kill you. You're not going to die. Well, I've heard better pep talks than that. Go ahead and do it. You won't die. Oh, good. You might be, you know, he didn't say anything about being pummeled or knocked out or you know, severely injured. He just said, you won't die. That's nice, God. Thank you. Verse 24, so Gideon built an altar there to the Lord. And he called it Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. And let me just tell you something about the word of the Lord. You can have a lot of doubt in your head. You can have a lot of chaos in your mind. You can have a lot of questions that you're not going to get answered. But if you check in here, there'll be a peace. There'll be a peace that you know you're doing what God told you to do. Now your head may be screaming at you, your head may be going, this is nuts, and all those questions keep coming. But if you check in your heart, the Proverbs say the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching the inward parts of the belly. That's why I touch my belly, which is a lot easier to touch than it used to be. You look on the inside of you and there's a peace. You go, okay, God, I can do this. And he said, I want you to build an altar here, and then I want you to get up and I want you to tear down the altars of Baal. You see, the people of God had gotten away from God and they began serving the gods around them and they began acting like everybody else in the world. You see, the God of Baal sort of makes sense from an ancient perspective because Baal was the God of fertility. He was the God over the storms. He was the God of the wind and the rain. And he was the patron, you know, God of sailors and all this. And so they believed they needed to worship their God so that their animals would produce, that their crops would produce, that they would get the right kind of weather when they needed it, or if the storm would be ceased. And so it made sense to their brain, but it was totally against, come on, the word of the Lord. You shall have no other gods before me. So we don't need to have anything else. We don't need to put faith in anything other than God and what he said. God will take care of you. And so he said, I want you to go tear down the altars and then rebuild an altar of the Lord. Now again, I want you to see the progression here. Gideon was obedient, but he did it at night. He did it at night because he was afraid of doing it in the daytime because he was still afraid. Let me tell you, when you step out in faith, you're not going to all of a sudden get this supernatural boldness that comes on you. More than likely, that first step or two that you take is going to be completely in terror, completely afraid. Like, what if this doesn't work? I think I'll just do it at night because if I tear this down and they get really mad, I could sneak out of here and blame it on somebody else. So when they wake up the next morning, they say, who tore down the altars? And somebody said, Gideon. So it didn't even work, him hiding at night. And so they're going to kill him. And somebody stands up and says, well, if Baal's this almighty God, let's let Baal defend himself. If Baal wants Gideon killed, let Baal kill Gideon. But see, that's not the ultimate of what God told Gideon to do. He said, I'm going to deliver my people through your hands. And he throws out another test of God. If you do this, I'll really know you're with me. Are you following me? You're not going to be perfect in this. You're going to make some mistakes. You're going to do some things afraid. But stepping out in faith is a process. And you see, it gets a little bolder and a little bolder. Now let's look over here at chapter 7. So God finally gets Gideon convinced that he's going to be this great deliverer. He said, but there's a problem. There's too many of you. And so if you win the victory, you're just going to decide, hey, We want a great victory. God says, there's too many of you. So here, I tell you what to do. Everybody that's afraid can go home. Half his group left. Hey, it's going to take courage to follow God. I'll be honest with you. It's going to take courage. I'll be honest. The other half were afraid. They just weren't going to leave. You ever watch like ancient warfare, like in a movie or something? And you think, no way, my little, you know, metrosexual, modern, you know, manhood could hold up to hand-to-hand combat with an axe coming at my head. All these guys were afraid. Like, I read all this stuff. I'm reading about the Mughal Empire of northern India, you know, from Genghis Khan through, never mind, it'll bore you. But man, every other page is somebody getting a sword to the face. And then getting knocked off their horse and getting drugged, you know, their foot gets caught in the stirrup. And they, in graphic detail, tell what their head looks like afterwards. Everybody was afraid. Look, when you step out in faith, you're going to be afraid. But half of them decided, I'm going to do this anyway. Half of them went home. And then God said, you know what? Still too many. what is there, like 12,000 left or something? Something like that? 10,000. That's close. God says, there's still too many of you. Here's what I want you to do. Tell everybody to go down to the water and drink. And I want you to separate them into two groups. Everybody that sticks their face in the water, gets down like this, and just sticks their face in the water and drinks, put them in one group. Alright? And then everybody that kneels down and scoops the water like this, put them in the other group. Great big group of people that stuck their face in the water. In fact, then there would have been 9,700. 300 knelt down and did this. And Gideon's thinking, okay, good. We're only getting rid of 300 more. God said, I want you to take the 300, send everybody else home. Look, it's going to take courage to follow God. It's going to take courage to walk in faith. But you're going to also have to stay alert. You're going to have to stay watchful. Look, there's always going to be an enemy after you. If you're going to step out in faith, you're going to have opposition. Look, you're going to have to not only just look after your own needs, because everybody was thirsty, so they just stuck their face in the water. But while you got your face in the water, somebody can put an axe in the back of your head. Look, they're getting ready to go into warfare. And God says, I want the guys that are courageous, but I also want the guys that are watchful. See, when you're doing this, you can get a drink of water, but you can also stay alert and keep watching what's going on. And those are the kinds of people that God needs in this hour. Not only courageous, but not reckless. We need to be people that are staying locked in with God, staying alert to our surroundings, being aware of the enemies that are out there. And God said, okay, I've got everything that I need. Because you had too many before, and if you would have won the battle, you would have thought, well, I guess we're tougher than we thought we were. I guess we're better than we thought we were. Why did we let these guys push us around? But when you're 300 against thousands now it's really impossible. Now if they get the victory, it's all going to be God. Look, I don't have a lot of arrogance and a lot of ego, really. Because I know anything that God's ever done, it was God. Anything that has ever been accomplished, if I tell a story, it certainly has nothing to do with bragging. Honestly, in my own person, I'd just soon be left alone and just go out and do something that you'd never know about. But here I am, have to stand up every week, once or twice a week in front of people. If God's accomplished anything through us, I'll be the first to tell you it was God. I couldn't have done any of this, and I can't do what we're about to do. But God is with us. It'll be impossible, but it'll happen. Larry Mugg sits up there. He loves these kind of sermons. He said, Stan, everything, you get up and you start talking about these things. He said, every single time, that's exactly what happens. You watch. You just watch over the next few years, and you see what God does through Cornerstone Church. We're all going to scratch our head and go, really? That's amazing. Truly. But see, that's my story, but you have a story. You need to be courageous and you need to stay alert. And then God gives him this plan. He said, okay, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to bring such fear to your enemy, this is going to be easy. And so they start having this dream that there's this big log rolling through their camp and wiping out their whole camp and just obliterating them. And somebody said, what's that all about? And they said, that's Gideon. That's Gideon. Gideon is scary, man. Gideon is tough. Gideon's going to wipe us out. Gideon, remember Gideon? Who am I? I'm the least of the least of the least of the least of the least. He said, look, my family's the least of the tribes of Israel. You know, Israel's not really doing that hot. My family's the least family in our tribe. And if you want to get down to it, I'm the weakest, puniest guy in my whole family. And now everybody's afraid of him. And God gives him a plan. He said, okay, everybody take a torch and everybody take a pitcher and take your sword with you, okay? All right, so at the right moment, I want everybody to smash their pitcher and shout, "The sword of the Lord in Gibeon." When they broke their pitcher and they held up their sword and they shouted, fear came over the enemy and they just absolutely, completely wiped them out in a few moments' time. And all that happened by faith. All that happened because somebody believed what God said to them. And even though they were afraid, even though they didn't know how to do it, even though they'd never done it before, even though that they knew in themselves they had no kind of ability to accomplish any of these things, the least of the least of the least, faith believes God. Faith believes what God said. Faith just believes what God said. And I'm just telling you, I don't know what your crisis is. I don't know what your need is, but there's a word of the Lord for you. And I know that there's people in the room that God's told you to do some things that you didn't do. And I believe that I'm telling you this morning, it's not too late. You can pick up and start doing what God told you to do even now. There's some liars that comes against your faith. There's a thing called time. Time's a liar. Time will say to you, well, if it was going to happen, it would have happened by now. So obviously, too much time has gone by. So if it was going to happen, it would have happened like 5 years ago. It would have happened a couple years ago. It would have happened 10 years ago. Time will lie to you. And then your family and friends will lie to you. No, they're going to tell you what they believe is true. But it's diametrically opposed to what God said about you. God says that you're a mighty man of valor. God says you're a mighty woman of valor. That God is with you. Man, I just caught eyes with somebody that you know I'm talking to you. So I'll look over here, not to make you uncomfortable anymore. But your family and friends will say, who are you? I mean, look, there's about, who went to high school with me that's in the room? 3 or 4 people. Look, the people I grew up with don't believe this, okay? It's just like unbelievable. And a lot of them live here in town. They don't come anyway. You know, it's like, no way. I know Saunders back in Heath High School, but look, I'm not that guy. I'm a mighty man of valor because of what God said. Not me. Me is still that guy. Right? God's put some things in you to do. You know you can't do it. You're a perfect candidate. You're an absolute perfect candidate then. God can and God will. There's somebody in the room that just thinks, you know, I'm going to say this. It makes me want to cry, really. I'm just going to be alone the rest of my life. That's a lie. Look, in your own strength, your own ability, your own whatever, yeah, it hasn't worked out relationally for you, okay? But you get a hold of God, you get a word from God, and you courageously walk that out, you just be faithful to the Lord, I'm telling you, the right situation is going to show up for you. And you're going to spend the rest of your life happily married. Because, you know, you have a lot of life left. Now, some of you are single and content. Paul said, that's great. Stay that way. Look, if something, bless God, ever happened to Michelle, and it won't, I'm pretty sure I'll be content to be single because she ruined me for anybody else. You understand? She's got to tell me how awesome I am since Saturday night. Since Friday night. So that's it's great. Not sure she completely means it, but that ornery side of her is what attracted me to her to begin with. So whether she believes it or she's just being ornery, I like it either way. And I don't care how you tell me I'm awesome, just keep saying it. You don't even have to believe it. That's faith. Guys, there's some things that God's going to get you out of if you get a hold of the Word. He's going to rescue you in ways that you just thought was impossible. But you're going to have to get a hold. Look, Jesus didn't say to everybody, your faith has made you whole. Let it be to you according to your faith. Look, just what you want. Great is your faith. I'm going to give you just what you desire. No, as people that believed and stepped out, even afraid. Look, that woman that was hemorrhaging, she wasn't supposed to be out in public. It was against the Jewish law. They could have stoned her to death. But she said, I'm going to press through anyway. Come on, the blind men, they kept saying, shut up, shut up. Look, in their culture, they believed that they had committed some terrible sin. That's why they were blind. But they wouldn't shut up. They just kept shouting louder, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. The Syrophoenician woman, the Canaanite woman, Jesus even insulted her and said, look, I can't give to you non-covenanted, you person has no relationship with God. I can't give to you what belongs to the people of God. She said, I don't care. Give me scraps. She wouldn't be denied. Let's step out and have faith in God. Man, if you're away from God today, would you come up here and just let me lead you to the Lord today? Or if you've never had a relationship with Jesus, would you come up here right now? Just really, let's all stand up. And if you need to give your life to Jesus, would you do so right now? Or you need to come back into right relationship with God, would you just come and do that right now? Step out where you are, come up here, and I want to pray with you. Let's close. Father, we thank you that you love us too much to leave us where we are, and that you see things in us that we can't see ourselves. And I just say to every person that's hearing this message right now, you are a mighty man of valor. You are a mighty woman of valor, and God is with you. So go with God today and be blessed. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you need to give your life to Jesus, would you come right now? If you need to make things right with God, would you come right now? Or if you need prayer for something that's really, really troubling you, would you come right now and we'll pray with you? Those men that believe you're supposed to help me, I need to find you in a little bit too. God bless.